Okay. All right. As most of you already know, this study, this Friday night Sabbath Eve study, is not going to be in selected messages. We're going to be doing a little back and forth in regards to Christmas, Christmas, Xmas. I'm being a little bit led towards pointing to the paganism of it all. Catholic Church never lets their people know about this stuff. If some of you want some really crazy, scary stuff in regards to Santa Claus, you might want to take a look at that video I posted at the beginning of this week, I think it was, about how Santa Claus is used to mock Jesus Christ. Everything Santa Claus does, he even says ho, 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 like our Lord says in the scriptures. I kid you not. I show the verses and everything like that in the video, and the video's a quickie. It's like 3-4 minutes. It ain't no biggie. There was a section on my Christmas page on the website, too, that also covers all of this in graphic detail. This is, by the way, what caused all of my siblings and both my parents to disown me after numerous attempts to try to get them to see that they need to get out of the Catholic Church. I had already left the region and had just started keeping Sabbath, I believe. Oh, no, this is before I started keeping Sabbath, as a matter of fact. And the Christmas page that I had made on my website at that time was about, I don't know, 20 or 30 pages. It's much longer now. But the one I printed out and sent to them was 11. And they didn't like it. And all I did was show what they do at Christmas, what everyone does, not just them, because there's some stuff in there that they didn't even do, like the mistletoe. Although they would joke about it sometimes and act like they're, you know, put a piece of parsley up and start kissing, you know. Everybody does that, but they never really knew the meanings of this stuff, and so I listed it all. And it angered all of them. Every single solitary one of them. Oh, well, I'll do this after. We'll put it in the text chat, Fran. Put Vera's husband's name in the text chat, that way everybody can see it. I don't want to put it on the recording here. But thanks. So anyway, the Christmas page on the website goes into details about all this. It's in the holiday section, of course, on the warnings section of the website. Scroll down where it says holidays. Okay, where does it mention in the Bible? Okay, good. Okay, now if you got questions, by the way, in regards to Christmas, send me a PM. And if you can't, have a moderator do it for you. Okay, where in the Bible does it mention Christmas? Well, nowhere. But it does mention how the pagans did certain things. Well, let me just show you this. This might shock you a little bit. Okay? Let me get this one section here. Where'd it go? Oh, here you go. All right. I'm going to read to you. Where is it? Oh, here we go. Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. It says, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you." This is a prophet telling you, hey, you guys are messing up, and this is where. And Jeremiah was indeed one amazing prophet. In a matter of fact, he was Daniel's favorite. And so anyway, he says, "O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord, learn not the ways of the heathen." Back then, the heathen, well, today they're called pagans, but back then they were heathens. Well, they're still heathen today, but that's, the word pagan doesn't come up a lot in scripture, you know. And anyway, it says, "And be not dismayed at the signs of heaven," like astrology, because they do the sun, the worship, and the, you know, the sun, the moon, and the stars, birthdays, and the birthdays were originally invented for Pharaoh so that he could be worshipped and say that all the suns were moving for him, and people started to like it, and over a few hundred years, everybody started getting horoscopes, you know. So that's what he's saying here. "Be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." In other words, they're letting those stars guide their lives. That's crazy. And let me stop here for a minute, because this reminds me of when I was a teenager, going, "You've got to be kidding me." My sisters were reading the horoscopes. I says, "Really?" And so if you read them in the Sun Times and in the Tribune, they're two different ones, right? I says, "Okay, let's just say they all agree, and they all have the exact same translation," which they do now. They're pretty much all on the same page now when it comes to their horoscopes. They try to keep, you know, across the board, because they're all in one industry now. The psychics have an industry. So, riddle me this. You got a guy, that's reading these, and his mindset is such that even if he's a Christian, because all my sisters claim to be Christians, you're believing that the creator of all that is seen and unseen, who made trillions of cells in your body and trillions of galaxies with who knows how many billions of habitable planets on each, and that's not even counting all the insects, the birds, the fleas, the humans, the animals, the cattle, the big, you know, dinosaurs, everything, the birds, fish, all of it on all those planets, including ours. He makes all of that. But he can't come up with more than 12 different ways that your day is going to be. And that just, to me, shocked me when I was a teenager. I says, you got to be kidding me. Your day is only going to be judged by 12 different possibilities. And if you're born with a cancer cusp, you got, ooh, goody, two chances. You know, and it's like, because I was Gemini with a cancer cusp. And it was like, at least that's what I was told. And I said, that's just ridiculous. So, irregardless of what, whether it's 12 or not, the fact is you're only getting one way that your day could be. And it's all in accordance to what a psychic says. And so they're doing exactly today what Jeremiah told them to stop doing thousands of years ago. So right there is a horoscope, but let's move on. Because check out what he says here. This might shock you a little bit. Because Ellen White does talk about Christmas trees, and she does say it's okay to bring a tree into your home during the Christmas season. But she also says to make it as unlike the world as possible. And if you're going to put gifts on it for the poor. But don't put any lights or ornaments or garland and boxes of toys and trains wrapping around it and underneath it and stuff. And certainly don't kill it. Don't cut it out of the forest and bring it in and have a dying tree that could possibly burn your home down if you put lights on it, because they used to put literal candles on them. I mean, yeah. Can you see Satan's handiwork there? She said bring a potted plant. The fragrance will bless the house. It's alive. You're not killing it. But go into any ninth hour church today or any other fallen church today. They've all got regular Christmas trees cut off at the base, dead, dying trees in their buildings with lights on them and the garland on them and the gifts on them and the gifts under them and it just, and the ornaments and it's with the star on top. It's all demonic. Just check out what Jeremiah says. Oh yeah, talk about the hassle too. How about it? But Jeremiah says, for the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest. Did you hear that? She says, for one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. Like we have to do today. If you use the Christmas tree in your house, you have to put it in the Christmas tree stand, otherwise it's going to fall over. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. And no, I don't think Ellen White actually had a tree. She was answering a question that somebody says, is it okay to have a tree in the church? And she says, if you do, do it as unlike the world as possible. You don't give out gifts with it, and you don't kill it. You know, you don't cut it, because that's dangerous. You know, you have a fire hazard, and you're a big, huge fire hazard that can destroy your home in seconds. Literally, you can't put that thing out. Did you ever see a tree burn, a dead, dry tree burn? Oh, it's just crazy. It's awesome if it's a controlled burn like a bonfire. And here's something that... Let me just see what the... Here we go. This is from The Two Babylons, page 97. This is a book that was written by Alexander Hislop about 100 years ago. And he's a believer, Sabbath keeper. He's got amazing information in there about the Catholic Church way back then. This guy had it down. He understood. He says the Christmas tree, now so common among us, was equally common in pagan Rome and pagan Egypt. In Egypt, it was the palm tree. In Rome, it was the fir. The palm tree denoting the pagan Messiah as Baal Tamar. The fir referencing him as Baal Berith, the mother of Adonis, the sun god. the great mediatorial divinity, and was mystically said to have been changed into a tree, and when in the state to have brought forth her divine son. If the mother was a tree, the son must have been recognized as the man, or man the branch. And this entirely accounts for the putting the Yuletide log in the fire on Christmas Eve and the appearance of the Christmas tree the next morning. As Zoroashtar, the seed of the woman, he has to enter the fire on Mother Night, that he may be born the next day out of it as the branch of God, or the tree that brings divine gifts to men. So it's all paganism. The Yuletide log, too, there's another one that goes so far as to say, well, all these, the two Babylons, page 97, Brother Stephen, but all this is on, all these are on my Xmas page on the website. This is where I just listed them all right here when it comes to the tree. Look at the link in the room. That's, I just read the first link. There you go. You're very welcome. So, but anyway, this next one here I read, same book, page 98. The divine child born at the winter solstice was born as the new incarnation of the great God after that God had been cut in pieces. Okay, now here, you got to be sitting down, and hopefully there's no kids nearby, but if there is, I'm going to clean this up a little bit if he goes that way. But me and Mark were talking about this earlier. Or was it somebody else? Maybe me and Kevin were talking about this earlier. I can't remember who I was talking about. Somebody. There's all these different myths that come out of this tree with the pagans, but the one I like to use a lot has to do with Nimrod, his son Tammuz, who was actually born on December 25th, and his mother Semiramis, and what she did so as to assure her son eternal life in the pagan realm, that is. But check out what he says here. He says, and this is, again, Alexander Hislop's book, The Two Babylons, but it's page 98. It's the second one on that page, that link I just put in the room, and it says, the divine child born at the winter solstice, which is the 25th of December, was, or it's also called Brumalia or Saturnalia. It's all the same thing. Was born as a new incarnation of the great God after that God had been cut in pieces on purpose to revenge his death upon his murderers. Now the great God, cut off in the midst of his power and glory, was symbolized as a huge tree stripped of all its branches and cut down almost to the ground. But the great serpent, the symbol of the life restoring to Aeschylus or whatever his name is, twists itself around the dead stock, and lo, at its sides sprouts a young tree, a tree of an entirely different kind that is never to be cut down by any hostile power, and thus shadowed forth the perpetuity and everlasting nature of his power. How that after having fallen before his enemies, he has risen triumphant over them all. Therefore, the 25th of December, the day that was observed in Rome as the day when the victorious God reappeared on earth, was held at the Natalis Invictus Solis, or the birthday of the unconquered sun, S-U-N. Now, the way I used to share it is, Nimrod dies. Semiramis, his wife, is worshipped as a god as he was. He, of course, ascended into the heavens, you know, is hanging out with Zeus, right? And so, his wife, still alive on planet Earth, still with her fleshly plot problems, has a relationship with a young man and gets pregnant. But she can't be doing that. She's worshipped as a god. So she comes up with the clever little plan, which a lot of atheists like to use in their... they had this one video they put out years ago that was overwhelmingly loaded with lies and total untruths that were never in history, and they actually said it was all their proof that their Christianity is a lie. And it worked. A lot of people fell for it. But I can't remember the name, the title of that movement that they had going on. And they still do it to this day. Some people still fall for it. It's really ridiculous. But I think a Z. There's a Z in there somewhere. The Zeitgeist movement. Yes, thank you, Dan. Zeitgeist. Yeah, Dan, okay, Scott, too. He got it. Actually, Scott spelled it right. So anyway, but yeah, Zeitgeist. Thank you. Thanks, James. He did a little spark, but, you know, my other brothers actually helped finish the fire. She came up with a clever idea to tell everybody that Nimrod visited her and she had an immaculate conception. And this is what Zeitgeist built on. They had all these supposed myths of the past where they said that a virgin birth happened. So that by the time it actually happened with Jesus Christ, it was proven to be a myth as well. When in fact all it does is show how the devil really hates what the prophecy says is going to happen in the future, so he comes up with all these myths. There were a bunch of myths, but nowhere near as many as Zeitgeist came up with. But anyway, Semiramis was one of these myths. And so she comes up and says that she got pregnant, right? She says it was an immaculate conception. She gives birth on December 25th to Tammuz. Tammuz later gets killed and gets cut up on all these different pieces. She's able to restore his whole body back to place before she buries him, except one thing, which is the man branch, like they're talking about here. That's why it's called the man branch with the pagans. And so, on his birthday every year, while she was still alive, she made it law that to acknowledge that he is put back together completely on his birthday every year, you're to either put a Yuletide log in your furnace or your fireplace so that it burns its way in like the act of consummation. So that way the next morning the tree comes up. It's like it's a sex act or whatever. And then, or you put a steeple on your roof. Or just have a Christmas tree in your house to symbolize that missing part of my son. That way he's whole in your home. And they did this, and then it caught on, and it just stayed that way. And so the Christmas tree in the house of the Christmas today is not a good idea. You know, it's just like with Semiramis, who's now called the Queen of Heaven in some areas. And Jeremiah even says the Queen of Heaven, what he mentions the word Queen of Heaven in Scripture, and literally declares that that angers the Lord. There ain't no queen in heaven, but that angers him when they say this. They even make hot cross buns. They mention hot cross buns in that same passage in Jeremiah. And so yeah, it's a very vulgar symbol, like the steeple. The steeple is just that male part. That's all it really means. It's a phallic symbol. It's the same thing you have in... That's why they moved the phallic, like the looks like a Washington Monument in the Vatican, the circle, St. Peter's Square or whatever. They call it a square, but it's actually a circle. Yeah, everything's just backwards with them. But they moved it. You know why they moved it? So that on a specific time of the year, which is 9 months prior, exactly to the date of December 25th, when the sun hits that phallic symbol, which was first in Rome and then later put in Washington, D.C. as the Washington Monument, a certain time of the year, 9 months before December 25th, the shadow of that phallic symbol will go into the doorway of the Vatican, like the Yuletide log, a consummating act. Disgusting. I know. It's just vulgar and disgusting, but people put this in their homes and think it's just a Christmas tree. Or they'll put the Yuletide log and they think it's just a Yuletide log. Or look at the... let's go. And these are just the pagan aspects of it all. And look at the birthday thing. The date. Let me go to the date. Let's see if I can find, or the origin of gift giving. Okay, here's the first thing from, this is from the Bibliotheca Sacra, volume 12, page 153. And it says, the interchange of presents between friends alike characteristics of Christmas and Saturnalia and must have been adopted by Christians from the pagans as the admonishment of their Tertullian plainly shows. And then, but Ellen White put it best, what she said in The Great Controversy, page 50, paragraph 1. She says, this compromise between paganism and Christianity resulted in the development of the man of sin foretold in the prophecy as opposing and exalting himself above God. That gigantic system of false religion is a masterpiece of Satan's power, a monument of his efforts to seat himself upon a throne of... Okay, that doesn't even cover that. I don't know why I put that in there. Let's see. Okay, but here's a little comment that I put here. It says, notice, the devil's tricky way of using gifts to pull the worship away from Jesus Christ. If we were to give gifts on birthdays, which we're not, I have a page all about that, why are we giving gifts to everyone else but Jesus on December 25th? Did the three wise men hand the gifts to everyone else in the neighborhood except Jesus? Or did they actually give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh? I mean, they gave them to his parents, of course, because he was a little guy, but it was for him. The fact everyone does that today pulls the reason for the worship off of Jesus and onto those you've given the gifts to. Pretty neat, huh? That's how tricky the devil did. He got it to a point where it literally became commercial just by you giving the gifts to somebody else instead of acknowledging who you're supposed to be acknowledging. That's why Christianity got completely removed from Christmas. Pretty soon it's going to be only Santa is going to be allowed. And by the way, just to give you an idea, because this is for everybody, Santa can also be used for the atheists because they don't believe in Christmas at all. And you might want to take a look at that page on my site about Santa, or that video I made about Santa. I have actually two of them, but the most recent one that I made on the 12th, which was 7 days ago. But check this out. What was I looking here for? Oh, man, it just flew out of my brain. Okay. Thank you, Lord. It's, was it Santa? Here we go. Check this out. All right. In Latin and in Spanish, San is used before the names of male saints, such as San Juan, San Luis Obispo, San Diego, San Luis, you know, whatever, okay? Santa is used before the names of female saints, such as Santa Maria, Santa Lucia. Saint Nicholas is a drag queen who is using a female name, Santa Claus, as some sort of signal to the homosexual community. And they've been doing this for well over 100 years. Daniel wasn't kidding in Daniel 11, verse 37, that this was going to be a homosexual-run society, and Rome was going to be the one that was going to spearhead it. Santa Claus is the name of a woman, but it's a man with a beard. And that goes beyond the lie that your parents teach you, when that little fat guy going to come down the chimney. You teach your child, lying works. I covered that in the video, too, by the way. But let me get something else here. The term Merry Christmas. This really ticked me off when I found this, and I didn't even notice. This is why I have a hard time saying Merry Christmas. I usually say Bah Humbug. You know, I usually say, you know, I usually just, and I don't do it mean. I do it to, you know, start a conversation going. Some people giggle, and I says, oh, I'm serious, you know, and I go back and forth, and I start talking to them. Check out the word Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, out of dictionary.com. That's all I'm giving you here. But the last definition is actually from the Catholic Encyclopedia itself, page 537. When I define the word Mass, I define Mary, Christ, and Mass, because that's what the word is, Mary, Christ, Mass, right? Now check it out, Mary. Full of high-spirited gaiety, jolly, marked by or the offering of fun, gaiety, festive, a merry evening. It's also archaic, it's delightful, entertaining, it's brisk, a merry pace, right? Okay. Christ, the Messiah. Jesus. That's it. That's all you're going to get from dictionary.com. They get that right. Mass. Now, this, again, is the Catholic Encyclopedia definition, page 537. It says, in the Christian law, the supreme sacrifice is that of the Mass. Well, not the Christian law, but the Catholic law. It says, the supreme act of worship consists essentially in an offering of a worthy victim to God, the offering made by a proper person as a priest, the destruction of the victim. So, in essence, the word Mass is defined as a death sacrifice, or destruction of the victim, according to the Roman Catholic Church itself. So, when you say Merry Christmas, you are actually declaring with great happiness and joy that Jesus is dead and gone. Destroyed. Destructed. Kind of like the crucifix that you see in a Catholic church declaring he is dead, and they have proof they killed him when they display his dead body for eons before the people on crucifixes or laying as a dead, you know, man in the arms of his mother in those statues by Michelangelo, or as an infant on the back of St. Christopher crossing some river. But look at all the other statues of Mary, or Stanislaus, or Anthony, or all the other saints, supposedly, of the Catholic Church. They're all alive with their arms out, and they can help you. They got kneelers in front of all of them. But every time you see Jesus in the Catholic Church, he's dead or an infant where he can't help you. So when you say Merry Christmas, you're saying, I'm really happy Jesus is dead and gone. That's why I can't say it. People say Merry Christmas. I says, well, you know, no thanks. A lot of times I'll just turn around and walk away, you know. But sometimes you got to know the time, the situation. But anyway, let's see. We already did the date. It's Saturnalia. It's actually the birth of... And another thing, it's not just Tammuz either, because they have to base this all on their pagan theology. Saturnalia, Brumalia, or the winter solstice is when the day is longer in the sky. The sun is longer in the sky. So on December 25th, you'll notice the time starts changing a little longer. In other words, the sun goes down a little later. Well, they worship the sun. This is one of the reasons for the plague of the heat. Because, hey, you worship the fire, this is what you get. Oh, you're bloodthirsty? Okay, here's blood to drink. You know. Anyway, well, if you look at the plagues, you can see it's just judgment upon them. Where was I? Well, lost my place again. But anyway. Oh, good. I thought Courtney fell out. She's back. All right. Were there any other questions as I scroll through this list here? Let me just start from the top. I'll scroll down and see if I see anything here that's... Okay, you did have a question. Is pagan the only reason not to celebrate it? Well, as far as I'm concerned, yeah. Because it says, learn not the way of the heathen. And I mean, look what it says in 1 Kings 18:21. It says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if fail, then follow him. Jesus even said you can't serve God and mammon, right? He says you can't put the cup of God and a cup of devils on the same table. So you're either going to follow Jesus or you're going to follow his enemy. This close to the end of the world, I'm sticking with Jesus. I mean, a lot better outcome there. I don't even care if they kill me. That's still a better outcome. And then look at Deuteronomy 12, verses 29-32. It says, when the Lord thy God, and this is instructions that they were given. It says, when the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land, take heed to thyself, that thou be not ensnared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee. And that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. So if it has anything outside of Christianity, then yes, you cannot do it. And this is paganism. You cannot do it. It's just that simple. You will be judged for it. It's bad news. Yeah, it's a big no. It's a big no-no. All right, is it acceptable? Okay, let me just try this one here. Because this more or less is the same thing here. Is it acceptable to blend Christianity with paganism? Well, it says this in the Richard Reeves book, Too Long in the Sun, in the Partakers Pub, and it says 1996, he wrote this. It says, the golden calf was built and the celebration declared a feast to the Lord. The people had declared a celebration to honor God that he did not recognize as being in his honor. And this we can read in the scriptures. They made a golden calf. How well did that work out? They had to drink that gold, didn't they? Not good at all. Okay, we already did the Christmas name. We already did the date. Did early Christians... Okay. And I put this at the end of the video, and I think it needs to be repeated here. At the end of the video, I showed just a couple of quotes where it shows that the Christians in the United States of America did not do Christmas. They knew what it meant, and they didn't want any part of it. And it says this, from the Catholic Encyclopedia, no less, is the first quote, 1911 edition, published by the Roman Catholic Church itself. It says, Christmas was not among the earliest festivals of the Church. The first evidence of the feast is from Egypt. Pagan customs centering around the January calendars gravitated to Christmas. In the scriptures, no one is recorded to have kept a feast or held a great banquet on his birthday. It is only sinners who make great rejoicings over the day in which they were born into this world. And that's actually the Catholic Church talking. It's the shocker. Let's just see here. I'm going to find one here that really, I may have been like the one I used in the Two Babylons. Here we go, page 93. It says, within the Christian church, no such festival of Christmas was ever heard of till the 3rd century, and not till the 4th century was far advanced did it gain much observance. How then did the Roman church fix on December 25th as Christmas Day? Why, thus, long before the 4th century and long before the Christian era itself, a festival was celebrated among the heathen at the precise time of the year, in honor for the birth of the sun, of the Babylonian queen of heaven. And it was it may fairly be presumed that in order to conciliate the heathen and to swell the number of nominal adherents of Christianity, the same festival was adopted by the Roman Catholic Church, giving it the name of Christ. And that's what they did. They just mixed paganism with Christianity to get more people into the church, because most people were pagans. So instead of teaching them to follow Christ, they just joined them to get them to join, you know, to make money, is all it really was about money. But have you ever seen, how many here, I don't know, let me see if I could find that one, Andre. But how many here have seen the movie The Grinch That Stole Christmas, or the Scrooge? Has everybody seen it? I would think just about everybody's seen it. The Grinch, or Scrooge, or yeah, you see it every year on TV. Yeah, it shows up. We don't have a TV, but okay. Yeah, I've seen them both myself. Yep. Okay. Did you know it's a true story? Are you sitting down? It's actually a true story. It's a historic record of how the Catholic Church was able to convince the Christians in the United States of America to keep Christmas. The only thing is, in the movie, the Grinch is you and me. We are the hateful ones with the heart of stone, black, disgusting, hateful heart. Everybody else with all the cheerful smiles and the love and the gift-giving and the dancing around the Christmas tree, those are the Catholics. The rest are all hateful, disgusting, and evil. But at the end of the movie, the Grinch, which actually represents the entire Protestant church, became a believer, all of us, a believer. It had nothing to do with Christ, just believe in Christmas. That's why some people defend it. And that's the reason for the movie. That's disgusting. But what are you going to do? Okay, we already did the origin of gift giving, the birthday ritual thing. I got a page on the website all about birthdays. If I see the reindeer thing, I'll share. I don't know if I have anything on the reindeers. Christmas itself stems from sun worship. We all know that because it deals with the winter solstice. The sun is longer in the sky, so that's why the date on December 25th was always acknowledged. And it says very plainly in scriptures, little children, keep yourself from idols. You know, the Lord's can only, the Lord doesn't mince his words, like I've said so many times before. So if he says it once, that's really all he really needs to say it. Okay, hanging stockings. Check this out. This is from the History of Christmas. Stocking hanging comes from the English legend. Father Christmas once dropped some gold coins while coming down the chimney. The coins would have fallen through the ash grate and been lost if they hadn't landed in a stocking that had been hung out to dry. Since that time, children have continued to hang out stockings in the hope of finding them filled with gifts. Father Christmas is just a Roman Catholic pagan god, Woden, W-O-D-E-N. Who later was named St. Nicholas. That really irks me, too, that he's using my name. Yeah, I gotta say. Or Satan uses the term Old Nick. I tell you. Lighted candles. This is from Alexander Hislop's book, The Two Babylons, page 94 and 7. He says, lighted candles are foreign to the worship of God in the church of the New Testament scripture. Yet they, too, had their place in the worship of the sun god of paganism and in Christmas to this day. Mistletoe, same book, page 9. It says, among the pre-Christian Druid superstitions, Druidic is paganism, derived from ancient Babylon, was the legend of the mistletoe. It was regarded as a divine branch which came down from heaven and grafted itself into an earthly tree. Thus, the mistletoe became a token of reconciliation. The kiss became a symbol of pardon. Unbelievable. All right, let's see. It's a Catholic ordinance. Notes to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, since there is no evidence for the observation of Christmas in the Bible, the question arrives, what is its origin? And when did its celebration begin? Lector P. Waldenstrom says, the custom to celebrate the birth of Christ in the last part of December, beginning first in the 4th century, before the 6th of January was celebrated. It's called a Catholic ordinance. And the next quote says, another author says, the third one of the great feasts of the church, Christmas, doesn't seem to be kept during the first three centuries. In contrast to a memorial of Christmas, baptism was Christmas or Christ baptism was celebrated in the Orient as a revelation of the Messiahship and glory of the divinity called Epiphania or whatever, or the 6th of January. 6th of January, too, is when my mother always insisted we would take the Christmas tree down. That was Father Nicholas's day, or Father Christmas or Father Nicholas. She even made porcelain statues of him. Really, I mean, this guy was decked. He was like a Santa Claus on steroids, only he wasn't fat, and he was tall, and really decked with all sorts of baubles and gold and riches. And so you had to get the tree out of your house by just January 6th. And every year, we had to do it. Every year, did it. Me and my brothers dragged that thing out January 6th. It had to be that day. No matter what day of the week it was, we had to take off work, even if we had to. We get that tree out of the house from Mama. Until you know, we got older and left the church. All right, anyway, let's see. Okay, this one says, this proves that the 25th of this. Oh, yeah, this is the point I wanted to make. Was Jesus born on December 25th? It's impossible. The Bible backs it up. First of all, where did he get born? Bethlehem, right? Because the prophecy said he would be born in Bethlehem. That's why the Jews all, and the Jews knew he was born in Bethlehem, but they kept saying, oh no, no prophet ever came from Nazareth. Because they knew he grew up in Nazareth, but they also knew he was born in Bethlehem, but they kept that quiet, just like everything else. Anyway, he was born in Bethlehem. Why? Well, because Rome started a taxation at that time. And you had to come into your city of origin, and Joseph and Mary, being children of King David, had to go to Bethlehem. And so they did, to be counted in the text. Well, she was great with child and gave birth while they were in Bethlehem, right? So the angels gave alert to the shepherds tending their flocks in the fields. Now, there's two reasons that he couldn't have been born in winter. Number one, Rome would never do a taxation in winter. It's way too difficult to travel in winter. You got the hailstorms in that region. In fact, it's so dangerous, in fact, that the shepherds bring their herds in around the month of Chesvan in the Hebrew calendar, which is about 2 to 2.5 months before December 25th on our calendars. So they're not even in the fields when the angels appear, right? So they couldn't possibly have been in the fields on December 25th to see the angels tell them Jesus was just born. And it looks more like Jesus was born in the fall, early fall, in fact, because if he was born in summer, it's too hot for them to travel. The angels would have appeared to the shepherds in the fields in summer, yeah, no problem there, but Joseph and Mary would not have been able to travel in summer, because it's too hot in that region. It's a desert. They don't want the people to get all worn down and die before they pay their taxes. So they wouldn't do it then. And they certainly wouldn't do it in the spring, because it's the planting season, and it's raining a lot. You can't move a lot of carts on mud. And walking in mud for miles and miles and miles, you know, they didn't have cars and motorcycles in them days, and so they didn't do it in the spring either. So all points lead to fall, early fall, when the weather's cool enough to where when you walk, you won't get sweaty. And the shepherds would be in the fields, tending their flocks. So, let me see what else we got going on here. We already did a lie. the similarities between Satan Claus and Jesus. The green and red. If you go to Leviticus 14, verses 33 to 39, I'm not going to read it all because we're getting low on time here. It actually talks about the green and red streaks in your house. If you see green and red streaks or stripes on your walls in your house, get out. It's leprosy. That's really it. Leprosy, okay? And see, pagans, when it comes to the evergreen trees, they go way back. Deuteronomy 12, verse 2, "You shall utterly destroy all the palaces wherein the nations which shall possess serve their gods upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree." They called them green trees back then because they just never lost their leaves. So they're green trees, they called them. And so the pagans used to go into the mountains and have all these, they still do this to this day, you know, like our ex-members that live on the West Coast, they have those pagans that live next to them. They specifically like living in the woods, pagans do, and they do these worship services under green trees or evergreens. And they've always done that for thousands of years. They've been ignoring God since after the flood of, well, before the flood of Noah, actually. They did that too. Let's see. This is Psalm 37:35. "I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree." Let's see. I've got all sorts of verses here. If you want them, you just check them out. And what's to blame for? Okay, here. I'm just going to read you this one quote from Cardinal Newman, page 359. And this was imprimatur by him, which means in Latin, "let it be written," which means it's truth. The Vatican approved it. He says in his book that the temples, the incense, the oil lamps, the votive offerings, the holy water, the holidays, seasons of devotion, the processions, blessings of the fields, the sacerdotal vestments, the tonsures of the priests, the monks, the nuns, the images, and the statues are all of pagan origin. They admit this stuff, but, you know, such arrogance. Hey, let's see this next one here. Just pop the mic with that pagan thing. And then I got 53 similarities here in a list. It says, I'll just run through a couple of them here. On the left side, it says it was invented for pagan sun god Baal. And then on the right side, it says the Catholic doctrines of the Vatican now. Okay. Maybe I'll read through quite a few of these because we could finish with this. It just shows you that you shouldn't be doing any, you shouldn't have anything to do with Christmas or Easter or Valentine's Day or definitely Halloween. Anyway, the Nativity of the Sun is the birth of Tammuz, December 25th. Well, the Catholic Church says that's Jesus' birthday now. The Midsummer Festival, held on June 24th with the pagans to worship Baal, is now the Nativity of St. John, held on June 24th. I was Catholic. I know this stuff, right? But I documented all this anyway, because a lot of people don't believe me. The Assumption of Semiramis, who became the Mother Goddess, or Queen of Heaven, is the Assumption of Mary, who now becomes the Mother of God. The Mother Goddess, which was worshipped as the Queen of Heaven and angered the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 7, is now the Virgin Mary worshipped as the Queen of Heaven. There were cakes decorated to the goddess with a cross drawn on them in Jeremiah chapter 44. Well, the Catholic Church does what's called hot cross buns. Some of the old black and white movies, you'll see that mentioned. And some people that like to do a lot of retro stuff at Christmas time, they'll bring out hot cross buns. The pagan festival of Easter was actually Eostre. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16, is now just called Easter. And if you notice in the book of Acts, when it's speaking of Paul going here or going there, one of the Romans mentioned Easter. He's going to wait until after Easter to do something. And people say, oh, there you have it. We got to celebrate Easter. Hey, look who's talking here. He celebrates Easter because of his paganism. And Paul would also go there for Easter, or any of the apostles would go there too for Easter, because you're going to have a lot of crowds there. They didn't have internet back then, or megaphones, and so you had to go where the crowds were. So if they're going to have a big festival, then you go. All right, number 8, the resurrection of Tammuz at Easter and the procession of the graven images during Holy Week. So Tammuz, oh, by the way, if people ask you, it's they say, if Easter is really about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, why does the date change every year? Well, ask a pagan and ask a Catholic priest. They'll tell you the exact same thing. The reason the date changes for Easter every year is because it has to do with the first full moon of spring. The following Sunday is then Easter. That's how the pagans did it of old, and that's how the priests do it today. It has to do with the resurrection of Tammuz, not Jesus. And then you have the procession of graven images during what they used to call Holy Week in pagan days. Now it's called the procession of graven images of Jesus, Mary, and Peter, and all the and of the saints during a time they call Holy Week in the Catholic Church. And then they give, you know, there's all sorts of things. You got the Doctrine of Purgatory. I'm going a little bit off track here with some of the stuff. Oh, then you got the All Souls Day, November. Let's see, burning incense and candles, Jeremiah 11 or Ezekiel 8. Well, they do the same thing in the Catholic Church. They burn incense and candles. All right. Let's see, symbols of the cross, sun worship amulets, round disc, painting of the child. Painting of the child of Tammuz and the mother Semiramis with the glory of the sun around their heads. Well, today they're called halos, and they're put around the heads of Jesus and Mary and other saints in the Catholic Church. That's originated in pagan theology, the halo. Because it represents the sun. It doesn't represent... How could that represent heaven or holiness in any way, shape, or form? It's round and it's yellow. Gee, what's round and yellow? You know? Oh, boy. And then infant baptism. Well, they do that in Catholic Church. Okay, this is going off track here. I don't know why. I thought I had a lot of Christmas. Well, there's a lot of paganism here. But, pine cones, used to represent the deity of the solar god Osiris, Bacchus, Dionysus, as well as a Mexican god, Hindu gods, and Assyrian gods. The largest pine cone structure in the planet is in the court of the pine cone at the Vatican. I got a picture of it somewhere on the website. It's huge. It's just a pine cone. I mean, how is this a Christian church? It glorifies everything that has to do. Or look at the... check out this guy. Quetzalcoatl, yeah, that's what his name is. Quetzalcoatl, or something like that. He's the lord of life and death in the Aztec and Toltec cultures of the 1000 A.D. He actually had an open chest with an exposed heart sticking out of it. I actually put him in my Antichrist flash animation. This was believed to be nourishment offered to the sun gods. Have you ever seen the statues of Jesus Christ with the sacred heart? They call it the sacred heart, where his heart is sticking outside of his chest, and he's pointing to it, just like that Quetzalcoatl guy does. Ridiculous. It's sad. S-U-N worship melded into S-O-N worship. That's more or less. Okay, I think I got a poem or something in here that's kind of... Okay, that's just a bunch of comments and stuff. I don't want to go into that. How Satan mocks God on All Merchants Day. I don't want to go into that because it's huge. Santa Claus. Related to Jesus. Oh, man, this is long. I got a poem, and I don't know if it's a poem. Yeah, it is a poem. It's huge. It's the last thing I got on the page. This would take me a good 5 minutes to read it if you want me to close with it. Yeah, I've seen those. Yeah, I've seen those too, Andre. The Santa holding a baby Jesus. They're doing all they can to make Santa look, you know. Oh, you're reading it now, Barbara? I may as well read it then. This is by some guy named Gary Michael. And he says, Jesus wouldn't have a problem with Christmas Day. And says, and he wrote this in 2001. On Christmas. It says, what's the real reason for the Christmas season? Why do people put up an evergreen tree? Does this make Jesus easier to see? Why the name Santa and why the ho-ho-ho? The answer contains what you really should know. Is Christ the center of the season's bash, or is it really about a whole hard-cold cash? Who dictates what is seen, heard, and thought? Who determines what is being bought? Merchants determine what is for sale. The airways are flooded with fairy tales, designed to make a prodigal cool, which is often another one of Satan's tools. Why is evergreen the tree of choice? Somebody's been listening to a pagan's voice. They thought that only a god could stay green year-round, and through device power not turn brown. Take the center of Santa and shift to the right. two-letter spaces ought to show you some light. You know what he means there? Just take two letters and move them to the end. Instead of Santa, it says Satan. Could this be a way to bring glory to a name that was kicked out of heaven and worthy of blame? Why do you suppose Satan says ho, ho, ho? Zechariah 2, 6 and 7 is what you need to know. God is saying flee with pain in his voice, away from corruption and those who sin by choice. Satan is mocking, or Santa is mocking God. Let's compare Santa to Jesus Christ, and you determine if Santa is naughty or nice. Which one calls the children unto him? Didn't Jesus say, bring them to him? Which one knows if we've been good or bad? I see a counterfeit. Boy, that's sad. This guy's got a weird way of doing poems, but anyway. And it's all capital letters, so it's hard for me to read. That's why I'm messing up. It takes omnipotence to read every mind and travel the world and be able to find all in one night so much of mankind. Santa is mocking the Holy Ghost. We know that Jesus must have a list to bring his reward and no one be missed. Santa is a counterfeit, I insist. Lies do rise in the world like yeast, and the world wonders after the beast. The same system that declares a saint introduced Santa with a spiritual taint. So many say Jesus is why they celebrate, but the devil is the one they decided to date. Who believes that Jesus could condone what must do? Those who are led by a demon crew. You know what's being done in the name of fun? All that Jesus said should not be done. Who would celebrate Jesus by taking drugs and getting sloppy drunk from fermented jugs? How can Jesus be honored without a scripture being read, but promoting evil, uplifting Satan instead? Of Satan and Jesus, which name is heard the most? Could this be directed by the Holy Ghost? Who gets the glory at Christmas time? Santa replaced Jesus as spiritual crime. But then, on the other hand, Jesus was added to Christmas by man. Since we say that Jesus is the reason for this time, shouldn't he be elevated in everybody's mind? Shouldn't all of the money be spent for his cause to draw the people closer to him and his laws? If Jesus gave a speech, what would he say about the way we celebrate Christmas today? Would he be happy with those on earth and the things they do to celebrate his birth? Would it make him happy or feel pretty sad if he looked at every Christmas ad? Or you should have put TV ad. Well, I've got news for every ad that's done. Jesus has seen every single one. The one that says, buy liquor today, the one that's so sexy in every way, the one that shows Santa stealing his glory while Jesus is left out of the whole ad's story, saying that Jesus is the man of the hour while showing that Santa has all of the power. Must be an insult right away. Jesus is being used today. I guess that's more or less, it's going to keep on going here. I don't know if I should keep. It's more or less the same thing going throughout this whole thing. But if you want to read it, you can finish reading it later. But the thing is, that would be a nice Christmas track. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Just do that over a track and hand it to people. But we could still take advantage of this day, though. Because there are people that you could talk to about Christ and hand them a track. Like, because I did have a track years ago. It said Merry Christmas with a question mark on it. And then I would hand it, you know, and I was thinking about doing another one with the Merry Christmas with a question mark on it and handing and opening it up and showing them what the word Merry Christmas really means. And, but just about everybody will take a religious track during this time of the year. So we could take advantage of this. But at the same time, we're not supposed to embrace it the way they do. So. Oh, did somebody put a no-no in the chat room? How come the text chat disappeared? Somebody got spanked. I'm still a little, you know, well, I'm not really sick. I'm just, I don't know, giddy, I guess. And I only used natural methods, you know, like white willow bark for the headaches, which you got to take a ton of because the stuff only lasts 30 minutes, maybe 45. Colloidal, silver. Vitamin D, vitamin C. I wanted vitamin B, too. But we couldn't find any. Oh. Oh, okay. Thanks, Alex and Eli. Thanks. All right. Yeah, no biggie. Yeah, that had to do with the page that we put on the site in regards to walking with Christ. That's why certain people left. Anyway, Yeah, I couldn't find anything about the reindeers, but I'm sure there's something on there about that. Like, I think I saw something in the scriptures the other day, as I just out of curiosity, just going through, and I saw something in regards to Rudolph's red nose. It's like a mockery of the star that the wise men followed. All right? So, you're very welcome. And we went over time, 10 minutes, 11 minutes. And it's almost time for me to go to bed. I've been getting to bed earlier and earlier, and I praise God for this. Anyway, I think it's a good time to pray. What do you think? Please kneel, if you can. Pray our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with a desire to please you and helping us see the warning signs along the way. It's like Sister White says, it's that gigantic false religion. The way she describes Rome, it's a gigantic system. She talks, because it's permeated into everything. It's not just into the churches. It's permeated into secular society with things like Christmas and Easter, and even that's, of course, that's all, of course, religious for the most part, but the way the economy of nations rely on those 2 days is just, it's just insane. So thank you for giving us an understanding of this and how it actually blesses families, too, that have children that want to stop giving gifts on Christmas because it's really difficult financially. They shouldn't have to deal with that. You know, not everybody has the money at that time of the year. And sadly, that's when people start robbing stuff and stealing things and, you know, sticking up gas stations and stuff. And so, please, Father, let this be a little bit more gentle time of year for the most part. But for those that are on the edge that are looking at this, please water the seeds that have been planted over the years. Let them see that this is not something you would have ever ordained. There's too much evil in it to be from you. It has to be from your enemy. And so thank you so much, Father, for revealing these things to your people and giving us an opportunity to share it with as many as we can. And thank you for blessing everybody on the prayer list, everybody that attended tonight, and all those that were in the prayer requests in the text chat. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.